When it debuted in 1982, Cane River was already a rarity, a drama by an independent black filmmaker financed by wealthy black patrons and dealing with race issues untouched by mainstream cinema. Richard Pryor even had to try to take it to Hollywood. Since that movie debuted, it's disappeared. A fascinating story about the movie, and it has now reappeared and is going to be showing over at the Walker coming up here tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Joining us right now to talk about the film, Tommy Myrick. She's a native of New Orleans. She is also the founder of Voices in the Dark, a theater group down there, a repertory down there, and she was a star in Cane River when it first came on out, and she's here to talk about the restoration and the re-release of the movie. Hi, Tommy.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing very well. You are a great guest. My goodness. I could talk to you about five or six different things for about 2 hours. You've got an amazing career.
Well, yes, I've been very blessed that way, you know? But acting was never my forte. It was always something that other people wanted me to do. But not something I wanted to do. I always wanted to be a director and a producer, which is what I am now. But there we go.
Well, you came out of Xavier University, and this I'm presuming was in the early 80s, and you then went and you were offered the role in Cane River. Talk a little bit about the film, because as I described there, it's a really unique film made locally there in Louisiana, it sounds like, and it did present something that was not being shown on movie theaters in this country.
Well, you know, actually, it's a story within a story within a story. So let's just start from the beginning. Horace Jenkins, who was the co-writer and producer and filmmaker, director of Cane River, and Carol Baltazar, who is a native of Cane River, actually decided what they were going to do is make a film about Carol Baltazar's hometown, which was indeed Cane River. Now, Cane River has a very interesting beginning in and of itself. That being said, what happened is that in 1700s, in the late 1700s, there was an African enslaved woman by the name of Maria Therese Quincoin. And she fell in love with a white French gentleman by the name of Claude Thomas Pierre Matoya. But, you know, this is during the time of slavery, and you're living in this time called the Black Code, which was Le Code Noir. So they couldn't get married or anything, but they did reside as a couple. Maria Therese Quincoin actually had 10 children for Pierre Matoya. Now let's jump ahead in time. And by jumping ahead in time, we find that there's a descendant of Maria Therese Quincoin and Paul and Claude Thomas Matoya, a descendant by the name of Peter. Peter then falls in love with a young woman by the name of Maria. The difference is that there is a code there. There's a color barrier there, which a lot of people don't know existed in Louisiana, because it was a given fact that people who were the children of the masters generally had more privileges. They didn't necessarily do field work. And so even as Louisiana was purchased in 1803, the color barrier between the complexions of African Americans became very stark. And what happened is when the Louisiana Purchase happened, a lot of the free people of color were going to lose a lot of the privileges that they once held when Louisiana was owned by France. Now it's owned by the Americans. That being said, a lot of those people fled to this area called Cane River. And generations later, Maria and Peter Matoya meet. But the most interesting story is that actually Cane River is almost three love stories in one. It deals with the history of Maria Therese Quincoin and Paul Claude Matoya, but it also deals with the love story of Horace Jenkins, who is the filmmaker, and Carol Baltazar, who was his love of his life and companion and co-conspirators, we can say, in the makings of this film. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, after making this film, before we even had one screening in New Orleans, Horace died at the age of 42, massive heart attack, and the film just disappeared.
That's one of the wildest parts about the story is that this movie sounds sensational and it sounds it progressive at the time, dealing with issues which are not being presented. I mean, I imagine as an actress, you read the script and you're like, wow, this is pretty sensational. and so you've got this magnificent film. How does it disappear? And tell a little bit about the story of how it was found.
Well, actually, Sandy Schultzberg, along with her team of filmmakers went into the Duart warehouse or laboratory. There was a Duart laboratory in New York City. There were over 6,000 films there. And so these are like abandoned films, films that went unclaimed, unseen, unknown. And so she, along with some other people, selected about 4,500 of these films. Now, skipping ahead all the way to L.A., Ed Carter, is it Carter? I think it is. Ed Carter, who is the curator of the Academy of Motion Arts and Pictures and Sciences, actually labeled and tagged Cane River as one of the films for possible restoration with the Academy, collaborating with indie films. And together, they redid the film and digitized it to bring it up to modern time, mm-hmm. up to 4K. And so this is what is being shown at the Walker tomorrow. It's really and this film was found in 2015.
Yeah.
So imagine that. You're talking about a film that was lay dormant for close to 38 years.
And that when they found the editor, that's when really things, I think, things clicked about what the importance of this and the uniqueness of this. They did restore it. Cane River, directed by Horace Jenkins. It is tomorrow night, 7 p.m., and there's going to be a post-screening conversation with many people, correct?
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, and let me, because this is Minnesota, and so know this, that last night, for example, we had another screening, and Keith Ellison was there, your
Attorney General.
He is a direct descendant of Maria Therese Coincoin and Paul Thomas Pierre Matoya.
Wow.
He will also be there. He was on stage with us yesterday, so was his mother, and took us back, really, 6, 7, 8 generations to bring this story to light. It's a wonderful love story. It deals with the color differences that lies within the African-American community, even today.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the deal, divide and conquer, you know? Mm. And so as long as you can push one sector of people this way and another sector this way, then you will not have that unity of force that you would have if you were just one people. So
Tell
we
me.
Are very grateful to Sandra, and very Schutzberg, and very grateful to Indie Collect, as well as the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, for finally bringing this film to light. I have to say,
yeah.
I saw the film for the first time in 36 years
October. And Tommy, I got to stop there because we're at the end of the show. Do me a favor. Promise me you'll come back.
I will.
All right. I would love to have you back. Tommy Jenkins, once again, she stars in Cane River, the restored version of that, tomorrow night, 7 p.m., a phenomenal story. As you can tell, I wish we could talk about this for a few more hours. Tommy, thank you very much. All my best on this.
Thank you so much, and I hope to see you there.
All right. Take care. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.